This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Horse people, this is Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 27th, 2013, episode 859.
Good morning!
It's Thursday.
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
That's right, folks. Today is your weekly two-minute warning to get busy and surf the web for off-kilter classifieds and email them to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com with bad ads in the subject line. Tomorrow, like we do every Friday, Glenn and Jamie will perform a dramatic reading of a select group of these ads, and the astute listener who submitted what we deem to be the best of the worst will win a fantastic prize. This week's prize, a Flexenfork from Equity Manufacturing. The Equity Flexenfork is a premium quality manure fork built to last for years and built in the USA. The ultra-tough, distinctive yellow basket is backed up by an unprecedented 13-month warranty against tine breakage. Cleaning uneven surfaces, pastures, and even frozen poo are no problem thanks to the Flexenfork's patented flexible backbone lever so tines don't snap. Get yours today at equitymfg.com. And now, sit back and enjoy this previously aired masterpiece from the Hit'em Audio Vault.
It is Monday. Thank you guys all for getting up and joining us here or listening to us a little bit later in the day, as some of you do. On this fantastic Monday, again, it's the last day of September, Glenn.
I know. How did that happen? I can't believe that. When you said that this morning, I went, whoa. It's October.
Yeah.
It's going to be like, did you notice? It was so weird. I went into Walmart when I was up in Aiken, and they have the Halloween stuff is all out. Of course, it's probably been out for a month. But right beside it was the Christmas stuff.
No.
And it's like,
no.
No. They can't even wait till the Halloween stuff's put away anymore. The Christmas stuff comes out at the same time now.
It irritates me. What happened to Thanksgiving, people? I applaud those companies that actually put things out after Thanksgiving and wait. But when you go into like a Home Depot on, you know, November 3rd and they're blasting Christmas music, I just want to kill myself. I'm like, no, this is too early. This is not fair. We're skipping Thanksgiving, which is one of my favorite holidays. It's ridiculous.
Well, you know, if I'd known this was going to come up today, I would have played a Christmas song just for your benefit.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice? I'm so sorry we didn't talk about this ahead of time. But yeah, I want to know, if you guys go to a store or you guys go somewhere, post on the Facebook page where the Christmas stuff is so I can boycott that store.
Well, Walmart's one of them. I can tell you that right now.
Sadly, Walmart is the closest store to me. So it'd be hard to boycott. I was like, I need to go there too. I've already decided the thing I need to buy at Walmart today. So, and it's 6 in the morning. So Walmart's
well,
already on
my
brain.
Walmart doesn't have the Christmas stuff out, but now you're going to look. Now when you go in, you know you're going to look to see if it's right
and
beside Halloween stuff.
I will find the manager, and I will have words. You know I
now,
will.
I didn't see the Christmas trees. You know how they put the Christmas trees up in the, you know, in the home and garden section? That was still home and garden stuff here in Florida because, you know, we're still growing stuff down here. So, and we will be for another 2 months. So I don't suspect we'll see the Christmas trees for a little while yet down here. You might have them. I don't know.
Who knows? Who knows? It's the desert. Anything can happen here. Hey, I wanted to also mention, Glenn, you look very handsome in a tie. And a suit.
I know, wasn't that something? And I got to use my big cowboy hat and everything.
That, what a great picture. Wendy is, so what we're talking about was a photo taken, Aiken, were you the navigator?
Yes.
Or are you just hanging out?
I was actually, I was a little bit helping out because she was driving, the horse she has there is a, Abby is a five-year-old that hasn't been broke too long ago. And this was Abby's first parade. And I'll tell you a little bit about some of the challenges of this particular parade through town. So I had to get off and head Abby a few times when things got slow, and Abby doesn't like to walk, let's put it that way. So it was, so I was actually glad she brought her marathon carriage along because I was able to get off and on a lot easier than if I had been in a regular wagon of some sort.
Hold on. This horse's name is Abby?
Yeah, it's a half Arab, half sport cob. And I don't know how he got the name Abby. His name
is
a gelding.
I mean, clearly we can see
no,
it's a male
horse. No, Glenn, you're mistaken.
How did it get Abby?
Abby is a girl.
No, Abby's a guy.
No, Abby's a boy.
No,
Abby's a boy. Yes, I happen to know that for a fact. Abby's a boy.
I can see the sheath in the picture, Jennifer.
Yeah, I do know that for a fact. Abby is a boy. I saw Abby in the field. I know he's a boy.
Maybe his name is Downton Abbey. Is that his, full name?
No, he has some long Arab name, so I can't remember his real name. But I don't know how she got Abby. I'd have to ask her that. I don't know. I never asked.
Very cute, and you look very handsome in your suit and cowboy hat, and Wendy looks stunning in her derby attire, her best Kentucky Derby attire. Pretty awesome.
That hat got more comments. What she does, she has a friend that's a hat maker that makes very fancy hats like that. And the friend, as soon as she posts them on Facebook, it's like each one's different. Wendy buys them. She has 50 hats like that. She just buys them all.
Wow.
So, and then she's always, the women that were all commenting on her hat. Everybody wants her hats. So Wendy loves being the one with the best hats. And she definitely had the best hat. We'll talk
great.
More about that coming up. I have a story to tell you that you're going to love, and it involves thoroughbreds. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. But let's find out from Jennifer what's going on today.
On today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, we are all about the winners today as we review the weekend's racing results. And then we move on to a therapeutic riding program that combines iPads and horses to help autistic kids communicate better. And following a few more off-kilter headlines in the wacky world of horses sets the tone for our week. And rounding out our morning's review, happy National Mud Pack Day, horse people. Celebrate by poulticing a pony. National Mud Pack Day, so celebrate by poulticing your pony, picking a quartet of hooves, or currying a crazily crubby horse.
Ah, okay. Well, whatever that meant, I'm not sure.
I don't know what she just said.
I'm lost. I have two today. All right, my first daily winnie goes to Muffy and Doug Seaton for their hospitality. We stayed at their farm when we were up in Aiken, and they had a little house there that we stayed in. It was a lot of fun. They have sheep and these Great Pyrenees sheepdogs. They had two or three of them, and they probably had about 20 sheep. And the sheepdogs would just, these Pyrenees would just stay in the field. I never in the entire weekend we were there saw them leave the field. They're guarding those sheep nonstop. They go out there with the food, and they feed them in the field. They have little water buckets out there in the field for them. They never, in our house, the house we were at was right beside their field. I never saw them leave the field. It was an amazing thing. It was cool. The one night I did hear them going off, so I don't know if something, came into the field or tried to. And if it did, they regretted it. Big dogs. Now, the other thing that was right in our backyard of this house we were staying at was the chickens. They had their chickens in a chicken coop. So I woke up every morning and right out the back window was the chickens out there eating. So I thought of you, actually, every morning as I heard the chickens chickening.
Chickening.
One more daily winnie. Well, my second Daily Mini is actually related to one show we had last week. Remember last week we were talking about designer horse breeds? That was on Friday. You remember during Really Bad Ads, the conversation came up of designer horse breeds? Well, Beth posted on our Facebook page, there are a lot of designer horse breeds. Mine is a Morgan Percheron, a.k.a. Moron.
Ah! I like it. I didn't see that one coming.
I didn't either. I thought it was really funny. He's a sweetheart, she says. So her moron apparently is a sweetheart.
That's so funny.
Up, I had to... Your turn.
Well, there's a particular horse who should get my Daily Winnie, but we're gonna stay in order here because we're gonna play that race here in just a second. My Winnie goes out to some friends of ours who about 6 weeks ago had not one, but two kids. She had twins and has a three-year-old at her house already. So clearly she's already gone crazy. So we went to visit her and her husband yesterday, and he's an Air Force pilot and they live up in Cave Creek. He commutes a long way. It's like an hour and a half from my house, and I live near the Air Force Base. So we drive an hour and a half up there. We are in the desert, mountainous desert area. It is beautiful. It is a beautiful view. And for the first time yesterday, I walked out of their house, and I saw my first ever wild bobcat.
Oh, really? In the day?
Yes. That's the problem, is their child, their three-year-old is playing outside. She's not allowed to go outside without her dog, because they have a big dog that'll protect her. But she was outside playing, and we walked open the front door, and there's a bobcat staring into her chicken coop. Exactly. It's like, oh, look at that. But I'd never seen a bobcat that close, and it was so beautiful, and they're so cool, and it walked right up to like the 4-foot fence and just goes boing and just sprung right over it, and it was sadly not very afraid of us. And she said that she's actually seen it come and grab chickens, and now they've got them locked up all the time because of this bobcat. But anyway, my first ever bobcat living in the desert, so I was pretty excited. Not excited for them. That sucks.
We have one in the neighborhood here, too, that some listeners some neighbors took pictures of. I haven't seen it yet, but they're not very big, are they? They're I would say, half again as big as a cat. At least the one
maybe
we call.
Maybe two cats, this one.
Two cats.
This one's about two cats.
Was yours heavy at all, or was it really thin? And
It looked like it had been eating well. Not
gonna
lie. Like,
a lot of chickens.
Yeah. A lot of chickens. It found the place to go, which is the neighborhood, which of course probably eventually they'll have to trap it and relocate it. But it learned that humans provide food. So that's it. Well, hey, can we do the race now, or do you want to move on to talk about your driving?
Well, let's talk about the driving and then we'll get into the races. We have a couple of race stories that we want to get to, but I have to tell you this story. It involves thoroughbreds, actually. So over the weekend, we're up in Aiken, and one of the drives they had was Saturday morning. They closed off a bunch of the streets. It must have been 30 cops there closing streets off. And we actually did a drive, all the carriages, through the city, through the town of Aiken. I call it town. They call it a city. It seemed more townish to me. But we it was a 2.5-hour drive, so we were out there for a long time. Well, we met. Everybody was stabling, and because we were away from the stabling area, we had to drive in. At the steeplechase grounds was where everybody was stabling. So we all met there, and it was about a 0.5-mile drive to the place where we were all going to gather up and head off in a parade. So we all went over kind of separately from the steeplechase grounds to this parade, which was on city streets. And the traffic was not closed off for us to get over to there, so we were just amongst everybody else. Well, we were one of the first group to start heading over. There were some minis with us, and there were two minis pulling two people in little tiny carts that were actually ahead of us. Heading over, we went out of the polo grounds, and guess what is right there? I mean right there on the way to where we were supposed to meet up is Darley. And anybody knows what Darley is? It's one of the top racing farms in the country. Well, unlike in Kentucky, in Aiken, the fences come right up to the road. And these were fairly small paddocks with fences right up to the road. The barn was practically on the road. And the yearlings and babies were out. And when they saw the carriages, they went bazookers. They started running. I mean, we have groups of five or six of them just running in these paddocks at full speed. And they were just going like crazy. Well, one of them, and we were driving down the road, and the minis were ahead of us. They were right there as this was happening. And one of them, one of the thoroughbreds, the yearlings goes to jump out of the fence.
Oh, my gosh.
He takes a flying leap and doesn't make it. He gets caught halfway, and he's stuck and flailing, and the other horses are tearing around like crazy. I never saw so many hands, mostly Mexicans, come out of a barn in such a hurry in my entire life. All the Darley people started descending on the fields to try and calm these horses down. Well, the yearlings were on one side. They were the ones going nuts. On the other side were the baby. I mean, weanlings. I mean, they were 6 months old. They'd just been taken away from mom. They were just standing there watching. I think they were laughing, actually. I think they were going, what's wrong with you? This is fun. You know, they were just enjoying the show. There must have been 30 of those in a field. And albeit if one of the minis, both of the minis that were with these little carts freaked out, the one mini bolted and took off and turned right towards the horses and hit a berm that was in the road and dumped the cart, dumped the driver. This is all happening in a matter of about 30 seconds right in front of us. And, of course, we got Wendy with her new horse that's never been in a parade or seen anything like this before, and he's getting all high and mighty. And then all the horses in front of us are getting high, and everybody's just gone nuts. And finally, you know, somebody just started yelling, turn around. So we all turned around. Now there's traffic. There's cars there waiting, watching all of this happening. And we're turning around doing U-turns in the middle of the road, and we all head back to the steeplechase grounds and just drive around there and calm down a little while they dealt with the mess. No, the driver wasn't hurt, but we did wait until the Darley help they managed to get all of those horses who were sweated up to the gills. They got them, and they had to take them across the road to the barn. So people were stopping traffic, and they got all of the yearlings out of there, and we were able to go by then. And later on when we were coming back, I saw the manager standing outside, and I said, well, that was fun. And he said, yeah, let's not do that again. All I could think of was, it's probably a $1 million baby that just hung himself over the fence. He said that the horse was fine and everybody was okay. But they were going to head out again the next morning for a drive, and they warned him this time. And there was some amount of, I think they were going to have the horses in. But it was a start.
Oh, my gosh. Well, and that goes to show you that, you know, I have one horse that here, the quietest lesson horse that I have here, the one you can put 6-year-olds on and be like, go trot. He's like, okay. And he goes, and he does this thing, terrified of minis. I mean, sees a mini coming and thinks that the world is ending, and you can shoot a gun off this horse, but dear God, don't let a mini trot down the street. And there is a woman who trains driving minis that lives in my neighborhood. And she'll come by so fast, and he's, oh my God, they get to work. So minis just must be evil, scary little creatures. It's like, you think zombie donkeys? I think it's zombie minis.
Especially when pulling a cart, I guess. But we had a great drive. It was a lot of fun. It was beautiful. I posted a couple of pictures up there, and I'll post some more. It was led, this drive, with about 40 rigs, about 40 carriages out there. And they had four in hands and pairs and singles and minis and just every variety of pony and horse you could imagine. And then, all except for hackneys. It's funny, there were no hackneys in the parade. But they was led by two coaches, and I posted pictures of that up there, too. And when you see coaches actually going down the road, which is something, they're the great big huge ones that have inside compartments, but everybody tends to sit on top. They'll have 8 to 10 people on top. They're the formal ones that all the rich people own a coach, and they used to go. That's where they used to go driving, and when they used to carry a bunch of people to town to go to dinner, they used to take the coaches out, and that's where the term coachman came from. Well, they all had the coachmen and the guys in the long coats and looking all formal. And there were two of those, and they actually led the parade, and that must have been quite impressive for everybody watching the parade, seeing them coming down with four in hands first, because it isn't. They're sitting at least two stories high up there. It's really up there, 10, 15 feet in the air. And so that was fun to watch. We were behind the coaches a little bit, and we got to watch them. So it was fun. It was a good time. We had a lot of fun, and I don't think anybody got hurt. There was no disasters other than that beginning. And it was a lot of different road surfaces. And when you're driving, that makes a difference. You know, we went from sand to macadam cobblestone, which isn't any fun at all when you're driving, by the way. And then we went over a wooden bridge. And wooden bridges can send horses into fits. We had that problem when we were driving in Lancaster with the carriage club. Some of the horses, it's the noise, the sound it makes when you hit a wooden bridge. And but all the horses got over it, and Wendy's horse was a trooper. For never being in a parade before with things flapping and cars and traffic and policemen everywhere and people everywhere, he did a great job. I was really impressed with him. I only had to get off a couple times and when we started going slower. He didn't like going slow. He liked trotting. But it was fun. Yeah. We had a great weekend. It was a lot of fun.
Well, I'm glad you had fun. It looks beautiful. The pictures are awesome, and it sounds like you're getting immersed back into the driving culture.
That's right. You know, I am, and I love it. It brought back memories. Good memories of the old days when I was much younger.
That's cool. Well, hey, we had a fantastic I would like your Jennifer and Glenn, do you guys remember Friday's show when we were talking about Mucho Macho, his race coming up, and I picked the number one horse, and I told you who also was going to come in second?
Yes, I do remember that. We were talking about Mucho Macho Man, and Painter was in the race, and I think you said Mucho Macho Man was going to come in last and Painter first.
I seriously doubt that's what I said. If we were to listen back to the tape, I'm pretty sure that I talked about Mucho Macho Man's been training very well. He really likes Santa Anita, and he loves this place, and he's training perfectly, and he had the bullet work that week. So I felt like he was going to do pretty well. And I said, actually, he's going to come in first, and Painter is going to come in second place. And I did say it would be close. But why don't we go ahead and play the race, Glenn?
All right. So this is Mucho Macho Man race right here.
And away they go. All came out smartly. Summer Hit wants the early lead, is sent along, and Summer Hit will cross over the leader. Chief Havoc is getting up to race in second. Mucho Macho Man right there in third. Soy Fett alongside of him. Painter, meanwhile, drops down into fifth, being followed by Golden Ticket. Liaison is 7 lengths off these leaders. Then there's another gap of 4 lengths further back to Take Control, who's dropped back third last. I know, second last, and Geronimo's a good 14 off the leader. They head to the three-quarter pole, and Summer Hit went fast early, but he slowed them right down. Now Summer Hit in front by a length. Chief Havoc quite content to sit there in second. Soy Fett is in third. Mucho Macho Man on the far side is 4 lengths off the leaders. Painter's on the inside of him. Then comes Golden Ticket and Liaison. They give them 6 length start. Behind that comes Take Control and You Know I Know, and Geronimo long, long way back today. Geronimo's last about 7. They run past a half-mile pole now, and on the far side, Chief Havoc now turns the pressure on, and Chief Havoc now kicking for home. Summer Hit tries to go with him. Soy Fett is right there. Mucho Macho Man 2-4 wide, but Mucho Macho Man goes to tackle the leaders. Painter is 4 lengths off the leaders. Inside of that, Golden Ticket and Liaison. They are coming to the top of the lane. Chief Havoc between them. Mucho Macho Man on the outside. Summer Hit tries to hang tough but loses ground. Now Golden Ticket comes to take them on. Soy Fett in behind that and Painter on the grandstand side. Homeward bound, and Mucho Macho Man now kicks away from them. Mucho Macho Man starting to open up on them as they come for home. And a scintillating performance from Mucho Macho Man and Gary Stevens as they take the Grade 1 awesome again in effortless fashion. Second will be Painter, then Soy Fett, and Golden Ticket finish 4.
Why didn't I bet that? I mean, in my entire life, I've never won an exacta. And Friday, I'm like, oh, it's going to be Mucho Macho Man first, Painter in second. And that was a huge field. How did I not know that? And we've got somebody to publicly shame me for not placing that bet. And I want to say huge congratulations to Dean Reeves, owner of Mucho Macho Man. And he's on the phone with us. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning. How are our favorite radio personalities?
Well,
we love you, Dean.
We do, because you are, what a weekend you guys had. Talk to us about it.
Oh, I tell you, just listening to the race then, it just sent chills through my entire body. But we, We had the weekend that was, I'm beginning to really love California and Santa Anita because he's put on two great performances out there. But what a thrill. I'm so, so happy for Mucho Macho Man to get that grade one. I've always said he was a champion. And the same for Kathy and Finn and the rest of our staff and our team. Just a fabulous weekend. We are thrilled and couldn't be happier.
Oh, well, so you were at the race. You were able to watch it live.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I have not missed any of Macho's races. And we knew he was coming into the race in top form. Kathy and Finn just had him really ready to run. And he loves the track out there. And, you know, he really put on a show. It was a tremendous performance.
It really was. So he breaks well. Obviously, he's sitting in a good spot pretty much the whole way around. And then, I don't know where this came from, but do you watching that race, it's almost like coming down the home stretch, he got bigger. He just lifted up, put his hind end underneath him, and just ran. He turned into a monster out there. And what do you guys think about his stretch run?
Well, you know, got to give some credit to Gary Stevens. What a tremendous race. I mean, he had Macho so relaxed throughout the first turn and all the way onto the, you know, backstretch. And he fits him like a glove and just put him in such perfect position and let him ease into that final turn. And Macho felt so good that turning for home, he just said, boys, I'm feeling great, and just took off. And It didn't surprise me because, you know, I think mile and an eighth to a mile and a quarter, he's fine. But, boy, he just decided to open it up, and it just looked like he was full of run that last eighth of a mile, and he ran it in under 13 seconds. It was tremendous. He galloped out tremendous way around the track, got a good finish, and very impressive finish to the race.
It was, and my husband and I were watching it, and then, you know, after the race is over, you know, they always have the outriders go, and they get the horses. Mucho Macho Man was going to have none of that. He actually turned around and galloped to the winner's circle and looked like he hadn't even run.
I know. We could not slow him down and to get him into the winner's circle. I'd like to go out there and walk him in. He was still ready to race, so I said, I won't do that. I mean, we couldn't slow him down, and we finally got him into the winner's circle, and he was still ready to go. We just took the pictures real quick and got him onto the barn because the next day he looked fabulous.
Good. Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, so now I wanted to talk about Gary Stevens because, to me, he's one of my favorite people. I mean, he's George Wolfe, for God's sake. He's one of my favorite jockeys ever. And you guys have had such an amazing who's who of the top jockeys to ride Mucho Macho Man. Like Mike Smith has ridden Mucho. Pretty much every top jockey, it seems like, has thrown a leg over him. But please keep Gary Stevens in the pack.
Well, he will be in the Breeders' Cup with him. We've been very fortunate to have great riders on Mucho Macho Man throughout his career, and they've all done a tremendous job riding Macho. Edgar Prado was to ride him but had a commitment and won a big race at Belmont. He's a tremendous rider, too. So, you know, fortunately, Gary was available. I ran into Gary Saturday morning. He had already done a lot of homework with Macho, and he's a professional, and he got on him and rode a tremendous race, fits him like a glove, and just very happy with the results and look forward to the Breeders' Cup Classic. I think we've got a hot horse and a hot jockey.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's the $5 million Breeders' Cup Classic, too. I mean, to me, like, to win the Kentucky Derby and to be in those Triple Crown races is awesome. But the who's who of in the horse racing world, they want that Breeders' Cup Classic. And to win the Classic and just even to have Macho in that race is just so absolutely fantastic. And you guys, and Kathy has done such an amazing job with him. And your whole team, his stomach, his... I really didn't realize how dang big Mucho Macho Man was until you see Gary Stevens come trying to, you know, control him and get him back into the winner's circle. How big is he now? He's got to be over 17 hands.
Yeah, he is. He's probably 17.2 to 17.3 something. I mean, he is a big horse. And, you know, I go back. Kathy and Finn have just done such a fabulous job as they work so hard in planning and working with what's best for Macho. And, you know, we were extremely disappointed. We had to scratch at the Woodward. But we did what's right for Macho. They
did great.
Immediately knew let's go to California and make sure we're going to get some dry weather, and so no mistakes. They made the right decisions all the way through, and the horse paid us back in big dividends. And I think he's going to be going into the Breeders' Cup Classic as good as any horse. It's going to be really tough. There's going to be, as usual, great horses in there, and they're supposed to be. But that's where we want to be.
I want to be there, too. And I'd let you know that I can actually drive to Santa Anita. It's only about 6 hours from me right now. So if you have an extra ticket, I'm right there next to you.
Well, I think you should be there, and we will find a ticket for you. So you need to be there firsthand to see the big guy run.
Oh, my gosh, wouldn't that be great? That would be so cool. Well, I'm super excited for you guys. Congratulations.
Thanks.
What a heck of a weekend you guys had. And give everybody a hug, and please continue the trend of giving Mucho a carrot from us.
We'll do it. Thanks again for all y'all's support, and it's always a pleasure speaking to both of you.
Bye, Dean.
My pleasure.
Good job.
Bye. Thanks.
Bye, guys. Oh,
That was nice of him. We just called him, and he just took the call. So I'm glad he came on. That's nice.
He still likes us. He still likes us.
Yeah. He's going to get you a ticket. You watch. He'll get you a ticket. Now you got to go.
What?
Now you got to find a babysitter.
I'm so torn. I don't have to have my sister-in-law and my brother-in-law live in L.A., and that's who, like, I was going to go to the Breeders' Cup, but there's a competition in California the same weekend, so it's event or Breeders' Cup.
Okay.
However,
if they get you a ticket, you go to the Breeders' Cup.
That's what I was just thinking. I'm like, I can't turn down that. Like, yes, Galway 3-star is going on that weekend, but if for some reason I was actually supposed to go to, yeah, I'd have to scratch.
That's a chance of a lifetime right there, especially knowing an owner that, you know, might win the Classic. Are you kidding?
Well, the way he's running now, I'm betting on him again. And Painter, I'm going to bet the 1-2, him and Painter.
Well, I'm sure Dean and Patty are, you know, that's a it is a $5 million race, right?
It's not too $5 million to the winner. The general purse.
Kentucky Derby, what's that win, a million? You want to win the Breeders' Cup. That's the one you really want. Yeah.
You win the Breeders' Cup. Definitely. And then the Breeders' Cup, you win the Breeders' Cup, and for the rest of their life, it carries, you know, a lot of weight in their breeding career.
I was really surprised. I mean, Mucho Macho Man won this race by a long, long distance, at least 10 lengths. And I was really surprised the Painter didn't have more, but it did look, I mean, your husband flies, you know, jets that have afterburners. I was really surprised that at Mucho Macho Man, because it did look like he kicked in the afterburners. It looked like it was just, okay,
it really
time to go.
Was. He got like a hand taller and just started running, you know, and like just ate up the ground. It was so exciting. So we're going to post that link on our Horses in the Morning page to that article or to the video. So you can watch it for yourself. But what a great weekend for the Triple M.
Very good. Well, let's take a break for Mega Alpha Equine for their commercial, and then we're going to be back with Tina Caswell, who's a clinical instructor at the Ithaca College Department of Speech-Language Pathology, and we're going to talk a little bit about how technology and horses have come together to help autistic children. We'll be right back with that.
Yep.
Winter season is the time of year when our horses' respiratory systems often show signs of stress. More time in the barn, traveling long distances to winter quarters, and back-to-back competitions for weeks on end can all take a heavy toll on your horse's respiratory system. That's why Omega Alpha Equine has developed a variety of products to keep your horse's airways functioning properly. Airwaves, Lung Flush, Herbicough, Respifree, and Stasis have all been developed to keep your horse's respiratory system in peak condition. Ask for Omega Alpha's all-natural products at your local tack and feed supplier or visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. That's OmegaAlphaEquine.com. And, of course, you can follow Omega Alpha Equine over on Facebook as well. Just search for Omega Alpha Equine. They're always posting all kinds of good stuff over there, so like them on Facebook. Well, our next guest is Tina Caswell. She is, as I said, the clinical instructor at Ithaca College Department of Speech, Language, Pathology, and Audiology. She is involved in a program that I'm finding absolutely fascinating because I'm a tech guy, so I think it's neat how they've combined horses and tech to help autistic children. So let's say good morning to Tina.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us today. Now, this program is called Strides, and I watched the video, and I read all about it, and I was very fascinated about this. Tell us first a little bit about autistic children. I mean, most of them have had some experience and know what autistic children go through. But what about the ones that you're dealing with? What level are they at?
The children that we primarily work with are nonverbal or low-verbal children, meaning that they have difficulty expressing their needs using speech or being able to communicate using speech. That doesn't mean they don't have language or thoughts or ideas. These kids think. They have words in their head. It's just how do they express themselves and to actually share that language with the verbal world. So we're working on trying to help them express themselves because I know they have a lot to say.
Must be frustrating for them, you know, they want to say things, they want to communicate, and is part of the frustration and part of their issues with getting so frustrated about things that they can't get it out, they can't tell you what they want to say?
Absolutely, and I'll give you a great story about an 8-year-old named Luke who I work with. He had fallen off a horse and was very fearful of getting back on the horse. So he came to our program, and he got on the horse, and he was just vocalizing very loudly, and you could tell he was scared. So I programmed on the iPad in a speech-generating app called Proloquo to Go, which means to speak out loud in Latin, and to go means it's portable and it's easy to take with you to go. And we programmed on there, I'm scared, don't let me fall, I fell off a horse. And so we programmed, and we said, Luke, just tell us how you're feeling. And he said, with the iPad, not verbally, but by touching a button on the iPad, I'm scared, don't let me fall. And then I put on there, I will be brave. And he pushed the button, I will be brave. And then the vocalization stopped, he calmed down, he melted into that big, beautiful animal and had a beautiful ride. He just needed to validate to all of us that don't let me fall off, I've fallen off before, and I will try to be as brave as I can. And that was all using an iPad.
And isn't that ironic? The same thing we say and we think when riding horses sometimes, you know?
Exactly. If we fell off a horse and got stepped on, which I have, and when you get stepped on by a horse, you fall off. It's very frightening. And when we get on there, we would say, don't let me fall today. Keep me up here because I'm really scared.
Right.
He just wanted to say the same thing. He just could not say it with speech sounds. But he could say it with the language that we programmed on a communication device.
So we have these iPads, which are being used everywhere now. And do they actually? One of the questions I have is, can autistic children read? So you've designed this program where they can touch things on an iPad to communicate. Is it through pictures mostly?
Great question. It's really a combination of both. For example, some children have more literacy skills or the ability to read than other children. Some children rely on photographs that you can actually program on the iPad. You can actually use different language programs. For instance, ProLoquo2Go has a language called Symbol Sticks. They look like little stick figures. What I try to promote is I want to promote reading, and I want to promote literacy. So what I do is I usually put on a photograph with the text or some kind of symbol with text. And then eventually what I like to do is take that text and just have the text in the box, like I will be brave and take the picture away. And then I hope that we'll develop literacy skills over time. Because if you take brave, the word brave, it means the same thing as a picture maybe of brave. You just teach it in a very structured way so they learn what it means. So one of my goals is to teach literacy skills, because that's truly how we're going to know what they're thinking, through the ability to type and through the ability to spell.
Do all of the children take to the horses, or are there some that just can't get over a fear of a horse, or is that kind of innate that they take to it?
You know, to me, it seems like it's just like they want to be there. It's a very motivating environment. I have not seen a child yet not want to get on that horse. Those horses just provide this calmness, and they're big, they're warm, they're beautiful, they're friendly, and they become this. When you put an autistic kid and you take them off the horse, they might run in another direction, or they're looking for another sensory experience. And so they're seeking that sensory experience. They might want to run, or one of the kids loves to bounce on this big ball we have in the barn. And it's hard to get joint attention or that attention to the task we're doing. When you put a child on a horse, that horse seems to take all of that extra energy and just take it into their body. And I get this kid who, wow, is all of a sudden focused, attentive, looking at me, looking at the sidewalkers and the lead walkers, and being able to communicate more effectively because they have the attention to what's going on. And they're motivated. They love going for a walk through the fields, going down to the creek, throwing rocks in, playing games in the barn. Horses love to kick the ball, and so they'll have the horse kick the ball. And so I find I get better attention on a horse than I do with the kids actually on the ground.
Now, I watched the video, and the helpers will carry the iPad. Do they get to the point where they will indicate they want to say something and want the iPad to say something?
Yes, they do. I mean, that's a big goal that I have, as well as with the graduate students I work with from Ithaca College, is I want these children to want to initiate. I want them to be part of the conversation. And so I want them to be reaching for the iPad and to communicate with it. And that's a goal we have, because socially, it's, you know, for children with autism, that whole social piece is very hard for them. I think they want to be part of our social world, and I think they want to be able to communicate. They're just not sure how. And so part of the program is to actually teach and train parents how to use the iPad with their children, programming on motivating vocabulary like let's take a walk down to the creek, or I want to walk down the trail, or let's go see the guinea hens sitting on the roof, whatever it may be. You know, a farm offers just, it's just a fun place. It's just a beautiful place. Right now in New York, our trees are just absolutely gorgeous. The foliage is beautiful, so the walks are just grand. And I have parents be part of that as well, and I want parents to learn how to interact and participate in a conversation with their children. So a big part of the program is parent training. Parents have to be there 100% of the time for the safety of their children. They can't leave the program. It gives us a great opportunity to help parents learn how to interact with their children with the iPad.
And, you know, for the parents, we talk about the kids, you know, and how relieved they must be able to finally talk, you know, in a way.
Yes.
And to express their emotions and their feelings. For the parents, it must be huge to be able to finally, for the first time, get communication from the kids.
And you are absolutely right. Parents, when they see that child use that communication device and express something, even as simple as, hi, Mom, when they're walking by, or I'm having fun, can I come back to the barn again? Those kinds of things, like asking questions and sharing with their parents. I think that every time that I'm in a session, I don't think that there's a dry eye. There's always some parent who feels overwhelmed or very emotional about a moment that occurred in that 30-minute riding session. Really based around that simple, that we take for granted, that simple communication. And it's so meaningful and so powerful to the parents. They don't get to go to school with the kids. They don't, you know, and at home is different. But you put them in a community environment, with someone who's supporting communication, like a speech-language pathologist, the parents, they just really crave that. They really want that help. And it's a great environment for everybody.
And this now, is this something that you hope to get incorporated in other programs like this across the country?
Have you had requests? We haven't had requests yet, but the CEO, the executive director of our company, Kat Markowski, who runs the organization called STAT, Southern Tier Alternative Therapies, she began the program, which is a writing program. We offer scholarships for children, so we're a nonprofit. Children don't pay to ride. We get our funding from outside supports and grants and private donors. And it was really the brainchild of Catherine that said, why don't we work with kids in the barn on communication and literacy because they love to be here. And so Strides really took off just a couple of years ago. And so we've helped about, I want to say, 25 children at this point and using iPads in the barn. So do we hope to take it further? That would be great. I think what I would need to do, though, is clone myself because I need to teach and train other people, and that is really our hope. It's to teach and train other people how to use this technology.
That would be great if you've already written the program and it works. That would be terrific. It would make it so easy for some of these barns that work with autistic children that don't have the funding that
absolutely.
That you might.
Yeah. That's right. Absolutely.
One quick question on the tech side. So when they actually press, I want to go riding today, on the iPad, does it speak it then?
Yeah, it'll say it out loud. So it's
okay.
text-to-speech. Yeah. So it's a text-to-speech operation. So it hit that text and it speaks it out loud. So it really becomes the child's voice. The child gets to hear it, and so do all the other people. They get to actually hear it spoken out loud.
Well, terrific. How can people find out more? Is there a website?
We do have a website. You can go to www.stat. Now I can't think of it. Sorry about that.
Jennifer probably has it, so she can post it on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning.
I
also watched the video on YouTube, which was fascinating as well. So she can post the link to that as well. Well, we certainly
appreciate you being on.
Congratulations on the good work you're doing and that how you're combining tech and horses to help kids. I think that's terrific.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate the opportunity today. I really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Nope. Thank you, Tina.
All right. Have a great day.
Well, Jamie, it just goes to show that, again, horses are used for therapy all over the place, but, she found a way to take the modern technology, in this case an iPad, and just use it as an assist to help these kids communicate when they couldn't before. And I just can't imagine the thrill the parents must have when they're finally communicating for the first time with their kids.
It's something that you could, as a parent, probably never thank them enough for creating that, opening that line of communication. And do you think Steve Jobs ever knew that his creation of iPads or iPhones or any of that stuff was going to actually bridge the gap of communication between kids with autism and their parents? I mean, just absolutely amazing.
Yep, this is really neat. Really neat stuff. Well, we're going to take a break for our song. We have a little Templeton Thompson, one we haven't played in a very long time, called Wishing You Wings by Templeton Thompson. She's on the road,
It's her birthday yesterday.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
Well, happy
yesterday
birthday.
Yesterday was her birthday. Happy birthday, Templeton.
She's on the road, guys. She's been doing a lot of gigs. So if you want to find her schedule, just go over to templetonthompson.com. If she's coming in your area, you can check her out. But I know she's been traveling all over the place with her husband, Sam. We're going to be back. We have a lot more show for you today. Leslie Wiley's coming up from Horse Nation with some fun stuff. We have another race we need to talk about and just a whole bunch more. So stay tuned.
You dreams that come true, oh yeah.
Well, that was Wishing You Wings by Templeton Thompson. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn DeGeek here with Jamie Jennings and Coach Jen in the producer chair. We are all here today, and we are sponsored by Omega Alpha Equine. You can find all of their terrific all-natural products at omegaalphaequine.com. Want to do a little promo for tomorrow morning. It is the monthly Tack Talk with Equus Now. And we're talking saddle fitting and blankets. Of course, it's coming up the blanket season, so we're going to talk a little bit about what's new on the blanket market. And also, they're going to have a couple of saddle fitters on the show, and we'll be able to take calls. So if you want to call in and ask a question about saddle fit, mostly on the English side, I'm going to stress that, give us a call tomorrow morning. It'll be about 10 o'clock when the saddle fitters are on, and that'll be at horsesinthemorning.com. And you can call us at 347-637-3238. So that's tomorrow morning for Tech Talk with Equus Now. We'll be here live with Rose. Well, now you had another race with another horse that's one of your favorites, right?
I did. Royal Delta was running this weekend. You know, everybody's getting those final races in for prep for the Breeders' Cup. And Royal Delta actually had a race, I'm looking for the article right now, it's called the Beldame, and it is for older mares and fillies, $400,000 grade one stakes race, and it was at Belmont Park this past weekend. And, you know, Royal Delta is trained by Bill Bont and has just been on fire pretty much her entire career. She is just an absolutely fantastic mare, and we always play when she wins, but I wanted to play this race and kind of see what's going on with Royal Delta now. I'm kind of sad, but fine, play it.
All right, good. Only four horses in this race, so let's take a look.
Nobody wants
and
to run against
off.
Her.
Little stumble for Royal Delta coming out of the starting gate, but she's quickly making strides and has gone to the lead from the inside. Roman Invader with some early speed and centering as well on the far outside. So Royal Delta's got some company early on here. Royal Delta in front narrowly. Roman Invader coming through on her inside now to take the lead. Roman Invader has taken over. Royal Delta runs in second, followed by centering third. Princess of Silmar is now running along in fourth. She settles back about 5.5 lengths from the long shot leader, Roman Invader. Farther back, the trailer is And Why Not. First quarter was up in 23 3/5 seconds. So down the back stretch they go, and Royal Delta maneuvers right alongside Roman Invader. Roman Invader narrowly. Royal Delta, Mike Smith sitting chilly in the saddle. And then centering on the outside, Princess of Silmar is only 3 lengths from the lead with 5 furlongs remaining. They picked up the tempo here. The half was 46 3/5 seconds, so they move into the fire turn. Roman Invader out there on a 30-5-1 prayer. And here comes Royal Delta. The champion's making her move now, and tracking her is the 3-year-old filly, Princess of Silmar. She is following Royal Delta around the course as they make their way toward the top of the stretch. Three quarters up in 1:10-2. Royal Delta, the leader, Princess of Silmar, targeting her. And here comes Princess of Silmar, who sidles up alongside Royal Delta. So the stage is set at the top of the stretch here at Belmont Park. Royal Delta down inside, narrowly on the outside, Princess of Silmar. There's absolutely nothing between them with 1 furlong to go. And it is Princess of Silmar. Princess of Silmar is in front. Royal Delta will be defeated, and it is Princess of Silmar. It took a champion to defeat a champion today in the Beldame. Princess of Silmar, the winner, by a length and a half. Royal Delta finishing second. Centering was third. The final time was 1:47-4.
That stupid Beldame stakes with stupid Princess of Silmar, 3-year-old. Now, let me tell you, this filly, Princess of Silmar, is 8 out of 10. She has won 8 out of the last 10 with 1 second place. So it's not like she was some, you know, sneak attack, but they did call it an upset because nobody beats Royal Delta. But can I at least point out that Royal Delta came in second place, made her move maybe just a little too early, and let me point out who the jockey was. Do I really need to? Do I need to point out who the jockey in Royal Delta is?
No, it wasn't Mike Smith, was it?
It's Mike freaking Smith! Are you kidding me? God!
He is the bane of you.
He should ride everybody. He should ride everybody.
Mike Smith's out to get you personally, I think.
He hurts me on a personal level pretty much at least once a month.
And you've never dated him.
I've never even met the guy. How does he hate me so much? It hurts.
Princess Silmar is going to be one to watch. She's only 3, right?
Only 3 years old. And this is the first time she'd ever actually ran against the older mares and fillies. So pretty much they were like, well, you're beating everybody in your own age group. Let's take you to, I don't know, the biggest and best. And so, yeah, she edged out Royal Delta by 2 lengths. But, you know, revenge is sweet. And maybe they'll get Gary Stevens in the tack and everything will be fine.
Well, she's a Pennsylvania horse, too, Princess of Silmar. Pennsylvania bred.
I don't care. I hate her.
Well, I have to bring it up. We were from Pennsylvania, so I have to bring it up.
I know.
All right. Well, let's go to something else. Like, you know how sometimes you have trouble loading a horse? You know, we had a little trouble loading Wendy's horse over the weekend. We had to get up the lunch line. And then he went on. He was just being stubborn. He was just saying, I'm not going. You know, it wasn't one of those totally traumatic experiences. But you know how sometimes you really have trouble loading horses and and it takes you hours, and you're trying to be patient.
No, that's never happened to me. It never happened to me.
You're trying to do natural horsemanship.
I've never ended up in the hospital after trying to load a horse after 8 hours either. Never.
Never broke your arm. Nothing.
Ribs. Never been kicked in the ribs by a horse. No.
I have a solution. It was one of your fellow neighbors down there in Arizona that came up with the perfect solution to this problem.
Really?
If you load your horse with a ton of marijuana in the trailer, I guarantee your horse is going to want to load the next time. He's going to be so happy and mellow. He's not going to cause any trouble on the trip. just with the fumes alone from the 1 ton of marijuana, he's going to be a mellow. Now, he's going to be hungry. I'd put extra hay in. But he's going to be happy, you know.
He's going to be really hungry.
Happy. He's going to be really hungry. He's really going to want something more than hay by the time you get where you're going. Well, the problem was that this particular gentleman driving down the road in Arizona decided that, the cops got a little inkling that he was going to be going down the road with something more than horses in the trailer, so they set up a sting in Santa Cruz County, and they had a task force out there, and they saw him go by, and they pulled him over, and they found 116 bundles of marijuana weighing more than 2,900 pounds.
You know what they look like? They look like what you would put shavings, the little
shaving
bags, you know? And to me, I would be like, why wouldn't you just spread the shavings out and so the horse can stand up? This poor horse has giant, basically sized shavings underneath his feet and legs. He can't even move. And what's really sad is that they don't even care about the horse. They just loaded him. So basically, it's a stock trailer. And so bottom.
My theory was, because they didn't even cover up the bag, I think they were going for the shavings look, and my theory was, I mean, they didn't even cover them up, was that they wouldn't get pulled over if somebody actually saw the horse in the trailer. You see the horse there, the cops are going to say, it's hauling a horse, you can't see the bales and you're fine, you know? But apparently they had been tipped off. This is a lot of marijuana. I don't think the horse cared, to be honest with you. I think he had a buzz, and that was, and you could have done anything, he didn't care.
Glenn, obviously you haven't done many drugs because you actually need to smoke the marijuana to get buzzed. These are just actually baled bags of marijuana. So what's amazing to me is that you know, when I've actually, there's a horse trail we go to called Grass Ridge down in Sonoyta, Arizona, and we never get stopped because we have the horse trailers, and they always just wave us through. Now, granted, I am clearly very American-looking. But these people... We're going to Nogales, okay? They're driving their horse to Nogales, Arizona. And I want you to go to Google Maps right now and Google Nogales, Arizona, N-O-G-A-L-E-S, Nogales is what it looks like. And Google that and tell me if anything you do in Nogales should not be suspect. If you Google map it, that's a little too close to the border, my friend. Why are you
riding
the horse?
Oh, it is right on the border. I mean, right on the border.
It should be standard to pull everybody over at all in that city all the time because there is nobody is down there doing anything good. It's like,
there's nothing around it either. I mean, that's it. That's all that's there. It's this road coming from Mexico.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to Dallas and... volunteer my time to help with the underprivileged children. No, you don't, because anybody in Nogales doesn't need help. They are looking to commit a crime, I'm pretty sure.
So is Route 19 that comes up from there, from Mexico, the Pot Highway? That's kind of Pot Highway 101.
I wish it was just pot. You know, sadly, there's when you're driving, like we go to, you know, San Diego and you drive along, that you can actually see the huge fence and there's nothing but just desert and signs everywhere that say, don't pick up hitchhikers. No kidding. Like, I'm going to pick up, you know, like six dudes that look like they've been in the desert for 3 weeks, you know, but it is a very sketchy place, and it is very scary actually to be kind of down there and to see that fence and to know what's going on around the desert. But if you go to Nogales and that whole area, that is where a lot of kidnappings take place. People like Mexican guys kidnap other Mexican guys and ransom them to other Mexican guys, and it's a really sketchy place. And nobody should be going, no pony should be going to a horse show down in Nogales. So if you got a horse in a trailer and you're going to Nogales, you're going to get pulled over, without a doubt, because you have no business being there.
Yep, $3,000 or 3,000 pounds. That's a ton and a half of marijuana in there with that horse. That truck was riding low.
Yes, there is. It's just shaving, sir. I don't even know how to say shavings, but in Spanish, but you know, they weren't speaking English. And the worst thing is that the driver gets pulled over, and what do? They run for it and get away.
And apparently got away. He actually got away.
So what
would have brought su caballo, amigo, in la trailer.
Bye, I didn't want the horse anyway. See ya.
Yeah, I didn't want the horse anyway. He's probably full of drugs anyway. They made him eat some, so they'd poop it out across the border. He's got heroin in him. My God.
All right, that was my story of the day.
Yes, we have to post that picture on Facebook. Jennifer, you can
incredible.
Do that. Because, dear God, it is this poor pony. And, again, you have no business being in Nogales, so, of course, you're going to get caught.
Well, let's bring Leslie on.
Yeah. Oh, Leslie. Leslie, good morning, Leslie. How are you?
Good morning. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Have you read this story that we're talking about with the guy taking the horse down to Dallas and seen the picture of the trailer?
It's crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
That'll be
and
on Horse Nation today.
Yeah, exactly. So caballo is in la coche. You forgot your horse. I guess the horse is now in good hands. They have actually taken him to a rescue, so he'll be okay. And he's probably
he didn't
I'll,
look
I'll probably,
skinny. He was fat and happy. He looked fat in the picture. So
I know. I'll probably end up adopting him next week. I'll let you guys
I was
know.
Thinking of that. You're going to have to go through the DPs, though, before you when you get them.
I know. Once he poops out all the heroin, I'll put him up for adoption. My God. Poor thing. Ah, it's terrible. Okay, Leslie, talk to us about something a little happier. Let's what's going on in Horse Nation?
Let's see. Well, I think you and I have a little bit of a difference of opinion to discuss, I believe. Last week, we did a little feature on what I called one of the most epic fashion soap operas in equestrian history, balloon
yes.
thigh breeches.
Yes.
And which I can't understand. I mean, I get it, you know, that this was pre-Lycra, pre-stretchy pant material. They had to make them pretty big. But why would you want to wear pants that, like, automatically add 50 pounds to your thighs? But then you
Let me tell
and
you
some
what.
Other readers actually came up with an actually some pretty good reason.
Yes. So you saw, I did comment on this because to me, to wear a pair of...
Well,
like,
tell everybody what you're talking about first.
The balloon thigh breeches. The breeches that they wore in like 1950s, 60s, probably even...
Oh, that puffed out a whole lot on the sides.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
And I guess they're kind of coming back in style from what I see. And yes, they're god awful, hideous, ugly pants. But let me just tell you that, you know, you have to wear breeches to compete. But to have to wear giant balloon thigh breeches when everybody else is wearing them, can you imagine how that would hide my post baby weight? Like, I think it's genius. Like, all my weight is in my thighs after having this dang baby. So, to me, these would be the greatest fashion move ever. I already have to squeeze. I'm already like an overstuffed sausage into my riding pants when I compete. Listen, Leslie. Nobody can afford to buy a new show outfit just because they put on, I don't know, some weight. So,
yeah.
To me,
yeah.
This is genius. Genius. Now, what did the other readers say?
Yeah, you know, some other readers kind of, you know, I just hadn't thought about it like that, you know, that's actually a good way of, then you're, I was like, well, why would you want to wear something that automatically adds 50 pounds to your thighs? But then I was like, wait, because we're all horsewomen here. We all have horse riding thighs. I'm like, wait,
yep.
Then you couldn't even see your horse riding thighs in them. So... Yeah, but you had some people that agreed with you for sure that
I like this
one. Would be good camouflage.
This woman said, "I love those. They are so comfortable on a hot day. Besides, some people look much better than in tight breeches." So
yes.
Apparently, air conditioning is a benefit of those.
Air conditioning. And again, some of us would like to have the actual thigh part of our pants be baggy for once, as opposed to stretched.
I got to tell you, though, from a guy's point of view, these don't do much for the butt. I mean, it makes you look like you got a huge butt.
Oh, they're hideous. Oh, they're hideous. They're so disgusting. But if everybody wore them, nobody would think they were that bad because you have to wear them.
I always think of them. See, I've watched too much History Channel because I always think of them as Nazi pants because that's the kind of pants they wore.
Right.
Too much History Channel for me.
Same thing, really, probably. You know, they're Nazi breeches. You have to wear them and you might as well conform. You have to. Or die. Conform or die.
That's funny.
Well, we'll post that on our Facebook page, Glenn. We got to post that because for those who don't know what we're talking about, we have to show everybody.
Right.
Now, there's also something that you have done on Horse Nation that has really taken off, and that is a horse walks in the bar, a bartender says, "Why the long face?" Oh! You've actually come up with several hundred horse walks into a bar jokes. Let's go over them. All of them.
Yeah, you know, I feel like we were talking about this on the show last week, right? Weren't we talking about, like, horse jokes on Twitter and weird...
Yeah, we were talking about Twitter, tweets. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think we told a couple of, I told a couple of horse walks into a bar jokes that I'd found on Twitter. And so I thought, I wonder what other sorts of variations on that horse walks into a bar joke theme there are on Twitter. So I decided to do a search and came up with 50, actually, like, pretty funny. I mean, there are some that are just kind of dumb, but there are some pretty funny ones in there, horse walks into a bar joke. So I compiled them all into one place. And I think I enjoyed putting it together. Maybe more than readers actually enjoyed reading it, but I thought it was hilarious. But let's see, some of my favorite ones. A horse walks into a bar. "Why the long face?" the barman thinks, but stays silent. He slowly backs into the office and calls animal welfare. A horse walks into a bar. Barman, "Why the long face?" Horse, "Val's been having an affair." Barman, "Oh, Ian, I'm so sorry. This one's on me."
That one's not even funny. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, there's some kind of sad ones there. Horse walks into a bar. Bartender says, "Why the long face?" Horse,
"That's
need
the
a
one
joke.
I just
what
said
you
yet.
Got?
What you got?
What you got?" Oh, my goodness. So many funny ones. I'm just rereading them.
I'm trying to help you out here. I'm looking for it. Let's see, 50 a horse walks into a bar jokes. This is my favorite by far. Okay. A horse walks into a bar. The bartender says, "Hey." The horse goes, "Sure."
I like this one's good. This one actually may have been written by a horse person. A horse walks into a bar. Four faults.
Let's quit with that one. Just quit with that one because we got to.
Yeah, that's the best one for sure.
Four faults.
Four faults.
Wait, hold on. Horse walks into a bar. Bartender, "Why the long face?" Horse, "My wife was just put down."
Oh, no. Oh, man. I like that. Horse walks into a bar. Barman says, "Can I ask you equestrian?"
Oh, see, it's all about the way you tell it, Leslie. It's all about the way you tell it. You just have to sell it. Awesome. Well, listen, you can find all of those at horsenation.com. What do you have, Glenn?
I was just going to say, the one I found the best from last week, and I spent all morning watching it. You ruined my morning, Leslie.
Was the
Eric Berry thing. I didn't realize that they had done a whole piece. Eric Berry's a football player out of Kansas City Chiefs, and we've talked about him before here on the show. We played the audio where he's absolutely terrified of horses. And, you know, he's a terrific football player. He's one of the best. And he's terrified of the horse. And they have a horse that goes around, Chief, goes around the field at the end at every touchdown. He's ridden by a very pretty blonde girl who rides him around and carries the flag, and they all cheer and everything. And he gets petrified each time this horse comes out. I didn't realize they had started doing therapy with him to try and overcome his fear to that video.
No kidding.
Yes, yeah. So the NFL NFL Films released sort of a 7 or 8 minute feature last week, sort of talking about inquiring into Eric Berry's equinophobia and where it's investigating, where did it come from, you know, what he's doing to overcome it. And it was actually, like he says, I think his explanation of sort of where it originated is hilarious. He got bit by a horse at a petting zoo when he was a kid, and he talks about it, and it's just so cute. He's like, I trusted that horse. I feel like he just... I feel betrayed, you know? And then this incident has morphed over the years into a full-blown phobia of horses. And but, you know, obviously that's problematic, you know, as Glenn said, because of the team's mascot is a horse, so that's something he kind of has to deal with on a weekly basis. And I guess he's been working to sort of overcome it, and a couple of the, I mean, it's just so funny. He's got like a horse. His therapy includes, like, you know, he's got a horse puppet.
Coloring books. He has coloring books with horses in them. He has to color in. They show him there with Crayola crayons coloring in the horses.
That's so funny. Well,
so funny.
You know, I didn't realize that, and again, how true do you think this is, that these celebrities that you have listed also have random animal fears?
Mm-hmm. Yep. The horse phobia, equinophobia is actually one of the least strange animal phobias, I would say, that are out there. I started doing a little research on other celebrity animal phobias, and there are some interesting ones for sure.
How often do these celebrities run into these animals? Like Jake Gyllenhaal, how often does he run into ostriches, which is strusophobia? I mean, who has a fear of ostriches?
The fact that it has a name is what cracks me up.
Exactly.
Yeah, it must be not unprecedented if there's a name for it.
Oh, David Beckham's is the worst. What do you do? Everywhere you go, he has a fear of birds. There are birds every freaking where.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, some of them are pretty silly. Tyra Banks has a fear of dolphins. Nicole Kidman has a fear of butterflies. Really? Really? Lyle Lovett has a fear of cows, which is, I guess it's kind of funny because he does reining, right?
He's
a reiner.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Not
you don't use
cows.
Cows and reining, though.
Yeah.
No cows,
yeah,
and reining.
Exactly.
That's why I do that one.
Eminem has a fear of owls. Katie Holmes has a fear of raccoons.
Leslie, what's your animal fear? Which one do you fear? Come on, cough it up.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know that I am super scared of any animal. I mean, any more than anyone else. You know, I'm not, like, crazy
about
spiders.
I don't do snakes.
Yeah.
Jennifer doesn't do spiders.
Yeah.
I don't do snakes. There's a lot of horse women I've met, more than any other thing, that are afraid of spiders, which is really ironic because there are spider webs all over the barn. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to run into spiders. But that seems to be the one with horse women that I run into the most. Okay, Jamie, what's yours?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me. I was trying to be quiet through that. Because mine is not really, like, this is embarrassing. I'm not afraid of animals. I'm afraid of people in animal costumes. Like, to the point where, like,
No Halloween for you.
Like, if Mickey Mouse were to come up to me, I'd probably punch him in the face. Like, I don't do people in animal costumes at all. Like, and the diagnosed fear, and I've been told to just avoid them. Just when you, like, you go to Disney World, Glenn, you will not see me hugging up on Goofy. It's just not going to happen. I can't do it.
Oh, what are you doing Halloween? Your poor kid's never going to be Halloweening. Chad, you're doing Halloween. I'm hiding in the closet.
It's more of a mascot thing. Like, if I go to a Falcon, a baseball game, and somebody's dressed up as, like, you know, the giant cardinal or the whatever the baseball character, anybody in a mascot costume is just terrifying to me. I can't take it, especially if you can see their human legs sticking out from under the, oh, God, oh, awful. I don't like it. I'm getting sweaty even talking about it, so it's actually a problem. But moving away from me right now, because there's plenty of weird stuff about me that comes out on this show. The fact that if you go to horsenation.com, you can actually diagnose your spooky horse, and there's actually fears that you guys have written about when horses are afraid of certain things, and I've done some diagnosing. And I've come up with what my off-the-track thoroughbred, Edward, who I am hoping is going to be this brave event horse. Well, right now, he currently has, diagnosing him, Algo, Aqua, Bronto, Catapeta, Cool Road, Dextro, Globo, Iso, Neo, Topo, Xylophobia. But we're working on it. But
what is that?
That would be, if I were to go, the fear of bathing, the fear of water, the fear of flowers, the fear of thunder and lightning, fear of jumping from high and low places, the fear of being alone, the fear of balloons, the fear of pretty much all of those things that you can find. Not all of them. He's not afraid of mice. He's not afraid of smelling things, not afraid of snakes, but in fear of everything is in there. So you can actually diagnose your own horse and find out what phobia your horse has.
Oh, man.
Hey, Leslie, did you cover the Miley Cyrus story yet? You're going to have to put that on Horse Nation this week. Did you cover that one?
We wrote something about Miley Cyrus a few weeks ago, because her sisters are both equestrians.
But did you see her quote? She said, "I love animals, but I don't really like riding animals. Like, I don't love being on a horse. It's just not my thing. I feel kind of bad. Like, I just want to pet you. I don't really want to put you to work." Like, do you think there's any drugs involved in her life at all? I think she was in that trailer too long.
But, like, I really don't like riding animals. Like, oh, my God, I don't really love being on a horse. Like, it's just not my thing. Like, I feel kind of bad. Like, I just want to pet you. Like, I really don't want to, like, make you work. I just want to, like, pet you and, like, watch something else, right? What a weirdo. God, we love that girl.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, she spent too much time in the back of that trailer that horse was in.
Right. You're exactly right, Glenn. She's in Nogales, Mexico right now, vacationing.
Oh, my face hurts from laughing. Thank you, Leslie, for our Sunday morning chuckle. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Tell no one what you've learned about me today. Please, tell no one.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Leslie Wiley of Horse Nation.
Okay, take care, guys.
Bye.
Oh, my face hurts.
I'm glad I can provide plenty of entertainment, and Leslie always does with her blog. Oh, my gosh. If you guys don't read Horse Nation every day, you need to check it out. There's always something entertaining.
I got to go back to the Halloween.
I'm sorry, I'm losing you, Glenn. Jennifer, are you there?
I am here and Glenn is not.
You know what? That was perfect timing, because I'm pretty sure he said something about going back to, and I was like, oh, I don't need to revisit that. I think I might have hung up on him on purpose. Oh, gosh, I'll be back soon. So, Jennifer, let's change the subject really quick before he gets back. Yeah, you got anything you want to talk about?
I got anything I want to talk about.
Well, we're playing the Lucha Mania race again?
Oh, man. That was such a – I did not get to watch the race over the weekend because I was armpit deep in accounting. So today during the show was the first time I got to hear the race, and I had the YouTube video going, oh, goosebumps, awesome.
I already got an email from a listener saying basically that she – Dawn Dean said, I love that you just asked Mr. Reeves for a Breeders' Cup ticket. That is totally something I would do. yeah, I couldn't help it, Dawn. I just had to. I just had to. And of course, I'll never get it, and I'll never go, and that's fine. But, you know, I had to do it. I had to do it. Now, there's a –
Knowing you could go. That's the important part, knowing that you could go.
Exactly. But it's also the same weekend as Galway Horse Trials. So it's like, I'm undecided. I'm undecided.
Oh, Jamie, you can go to horse trials anytime. They have lots of those. How many opportunities do you get to go to, you know, an invitation from an owner to go to Santa Anita?
Yeah. See, but the thing is, I don't actually have Dean's phone number, nor does he have mine. I mean, anybody can say, oh, yeah, sure, we'll take it. We'll get you a ticket. And then, you know, it's never going to happen. What am I supposed to cyber-stalk him? And, like, be like, somebody, please, let me
know. No, but I'll cyber-stalk him. I'll cyber-stalk him for you. That won't be a problem.
Oh, that'd be great. Can you imagine how good it would be for our show for me to go and give you guys a what it's like to be an owner of a Breeders' Cup Classic horse? I mean, I could take notes and do interviews. I could write
the whole thing. That's right. No, I think that'd be great. I think it's fantastic. I think you should just record the whole thing.
But I'm in. Oh, Ty Reeves just accepted my friend request on Facebook. Yay! I'm halfway there.
That's right. You're going to get that invitation any second now.
I'm sure.
I like how he hesitated before he answered that, though, today.
Oh, totally. He's like, do I really want this crazy girl? Wait, no, I don't. Yeah. Oh, sure, we'll give it a
second. I don't want this stalker in my booth.
That's crazy.
He didn't say you'd be in the booth with him, though. He did not say that. Or
no,
else we'd
did
get
not.
To see on TV. We didn't get to see on TV. You'd have to borrow one of Wendy's hats to go.
Oh, my God. How cool would that be to be in a winner's circle photo at the Breeders' Cup? It just doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't.
You've got to win.
No.
Oh, you're jealous.
You're not
going to
go to
Aiken. I'm not going. I'm going to horse trial. We can quit. But Patty did accept my friend request, so I'm feeling pretty special.
Tomorrow, Tuesday, I want to remind everybody it's Tack Talk with Equus Now. We are Rose has arranged to have some saddle fitters on at 10 o'clock, so if you want to give us a call at 347-637-3238 with any questions about English saddle fit, they would be happy to answer your questions. So we'll be back live here tomorrow morning talking all about Tack with our once-a-month segment with Equus Now. And then, Jamie, are you back on Wednesday? We didn't even talk about schedule this week yet.
Yes, I'm back on Wednesday and then Friday.
Okay.
But on Friday, I'm going to Friday evening. I'm heading to Oklahoma to visit the in-laws. So I won't be here next Monday.
Oh, really?
So, by the way, I won't be here. So you know.
Oh, okay. Yep. So you're heading off to for the first trip with the baby to the in-laws, right?
First trip to the in-laws, you know, when my dad was in the hospital, I did take the baby across the country all by myself. So this is going to be a lot easier. I will have the husband with me because, of course, he is going with me if we're going to go to the in-laws place. So we will be going again, and I'm visiting the in-laws.
Go to our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning and see what Leslie from Horse Nation just posted for your benefit.
Oh, no.
That's a good sense of humor.
I don't like it. I don't know what she did, but I don't like it.
It's a picture of about 25 costumes that kids can get for Halloween, all animal, just for your benefit. She says, Jamie, boo!
No! I don't like it. I don't like it one bit.
Now when we get to Halloween again and my phobia of little trick-or-treaters comes out, I don't want to hear any crap from you people. I don't want to hear any more crap like I did last year because I'm just going to bring up your phobia.
Yeah,
I don't like trick-or-treaters. We don't do the trick. We don't
hand out. Isn't that the same thing when you get right down to it, Ben? Little kids in costumes? It's the same thing.
Yeah,
I'm
I don't
not
think
afraid
it's
of little children.
Glenn is afraid of children. I'm just afraid of the giant people at, like, the baseball games that are wearing costumes that cover their head, that have, like, appendages, that human appendages stick, like somebody in a chicken costume. You got the whole body of the chicken, but your legs are sticking out? No. No, there's something wrong with that.
You would definitely not like the tree lady at the Animal Kingdom. She looks like a tree, and she's on stilts, so she's about 12 feet tall, and she blends in, and then all of a sudden she moves and scares people as they go by.
God, no.
You would die.
I would take her out. I would take out
freak out and go run and scream to their mommies.
That'd be it for Jamie.
Done.
Yeah.
There are millions of children in the world now who have tree phobias because of her.
Exactly. That's just, I will hurt you. I will punch a mascot. There's nothing funnier to me than in movies when they have mascots fighting each other. That makes me very happy.
We got to go. We'll be back again here tomorrow morning live at 9 a.m. Be sure to download the app. You can find it in the App Store at Horses in the Morning. But, by the way, there was one other thing, Jamie, is I found out this week, we had a lot of our listeners at the ADS event in Aiken who listened to the driving show, obviously, but they also listened to Horses in the Morning. And several of them said to say hi. Lynn in Michigan was one of them. We had dinner with her the other night. But she's a riot. So she said to say hello. And then there were several others that also listened to the morning show. So hello to all of our driving fans that listen to the morning show.
Yeah,
I almost forgot to tell you.
Thank you very much. And I say hello back. Yeah, let's do it. Spay, neuter, and geld. And just don't dress up like an animal. It's just, there's something wrong with it. I'll see you guys.
You'd both be back safe if they were dressed up as a big, great big snake.